Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Lean In with Jeff. Today's episode, I will be doing a rom-com review once again. And along with that, I will have four songs that I would like to play for you all. Two of which is from a Canadian singer-songwriter, and two from other artists that I will remain unnamed for you guys to anticipate on who it is. So the movie that I will be reviewing today, I will tell you guys right after we go through the ads, PSAs, show promo, and the station ID. And once we get through that, I will begin the show. And once that happens, we'll progress through the show and then turn on the songs. And after that, I will end it off. So why don't we get through all the ads, PSAs, show promos, and PSAs. And then I will meet you guys shortly. So here we go. I hope you guys enjoy.
We all know that the word jazz means many different things to many different people, so check out the real deal on The Jazz Show at CITR 101.9 FM or CITR.ca for live streaming. Yours truly, Gavin Walker, is your host, and I guarantee the straight goods of 3 hours of jazz at its finest. The jazz feature that focuses on a concept, an album, or an individual artist will be heard at the beginning of the show every Monday night, right at 9 p.m., after our opening theme and announcement. So come on by and give your ears a musical workout, 9 p.m. Mondays. Don't miss it.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
MRG Live presents Shred Kelly at the Biltmore Cabaret on March 29, 2024, with special guest Hyenas. Hailing from the Canadian Rockies, Shred Kelly is a powerhouse band that seamlessly blends elements of alternative, folk, and rock, making them a mainstay in the Canadian music scene. With a reputation for dynamic live performances, you won't want to miss their Blurry Vision album release tour. Check out Shred Kelly at the Biltmore Cabaret on March 29th, 2024. Tickets are on sale now at admitone.com. Moon River, the collaborative new project for members of the Juno-nominated indie folk mainstays, The Wooden Sky and Linda Ortega, Kathleen Edwards, and Corb Lund's bands, could easily be described as a supergroup of sorts. Not just because of their collective talents, but because the music on their debut album, Volume 1, is simply super. Their knack for creating sonic worlds that are at once lightly trippy and wholly inviting means that as much as they draw on inspirations from decades past, they maintain a pleasing, distinctly out-of-time feel. Described as Buddy Holly meets Krautrock, it's something that you need to hear to fully comprehend, and Vancouverites will have the chance on April 5th at Green Autobody at 1822 Pandora Street, alongside Brandon Wolf Scott and Jody Glenham. Advance tickets are on sale now via Eventbrite for $22.63. So get yours now and mark your calendar to see Moon River live on Friday, April 5th.
At 11 a.m. every Wednesday, tune in to CITR 101.9 FM for Radio Art by Danny Gall, a series featuring artworks made especially for radio broadcast, presented by the Belkin Gallery at UBC and the Polygon Gallery at the Lonsdale Quay, in tandem with two exhibitions of major works by the artist. Composed of a vast archive of sound documents, these broadcasts invite us as embodied listeners to consider the relationship of political events to acoustic events. They can be understood as both historical documents and musical compositions in the tradition of music concrete. As the transmission unfolds, we hear a full spectrum of Gall's approach to making art for radio. From selected episodes of Different Time, Different Pitch, Different Place, commissioned by Documenta 14 in 2017, to the two-part radio play entitled Vertiginous, commissioned in 2023 for the podcast series Uncertain Groundlessness, Navigating Dizziness Together.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Jeff, and for those of you who have just joined in, welcome to Lean In with Jeff. Today, I am going to be reviewing the movie Sleepless in Seattle. Absolutely a classic movie directed by Nora Ephron, starring Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. For those of you who have continued to join me and have followed my episodes, you will all know that When Harry Met Sally is my favorite all-time romantic comedy movie. And in this movie, Meg Ryan also stars in it as well, and it's a very, very wonderful movie. However, there are some concerns that I have, or some maybe additions that I would like to suggest in the movie that I personally would have felt that the movie would have been a little bit more intriguing, but nevertheless, this movie was a great movie. And I think it's one of those movies that, you know, everyone should kind of give it a try with kind of, you know, low stakes, just at night when you're trying to relax. Turning on a very, you know, calming romantic comedy like this could be a good choice to end off your day. So the movie is called Sleepless in Seattle. It's set in Seattle and Baltimore, and the film follows the story of Sam Baldwin, who is played by Tom Hanks, a recently widowed father, and Annie Reed, who is played by Meg Ryan, a journalist living in Baltimore, who are brought together kind of by fate and serendipity of the radio. That is exciting because we're doing a radio show right now. Their love, you could argue, it's sparked by the radio, or at least that was kind of the inciting incident. And so as we kind of go forward and analyze the plot, the film opens up with Sam Baldwin's wife, Maggie, who passes away from cancer. Sam is now left with raising his young son, Jonah, completely on his own. So he kind of is struggling with this grief and the sadness. And he also has, on top of that, a son that he has to raise without a mother. And so there's a lot of emotions and a lot of mixture of emotions that Sam is going through simultaneously within everything else that he's going through right now. And then Sam decides to move to Seattle with a fresh start. One night, Jonah calls in a radio talk show and he starts pouring his heart out. He starts pouring out his loneliness, his father's loneliness, and his wish that his father could, you know, find love again and find happiness. And although that his father is a great father and he's doing very well in terms of raising Jonah, Jonah still wants his father to find that love that he deserves. And so the radio host, inspired by Jonah's heartfelt plea for his father to find love again, encourages Sam to talk on air. And Sam eventually shares his story, and he really begins to capture a lot of the hearts of the listeners across the country. And one of the people that Sam caught interest was Annie Reed. So among those touched by Sam's story, Annie Reed, who is engaged but begins to question her relationship after hearing Sam speak on the radio, kind of gets curious. You know, she's thinking about Sam and his story and who he is. And despite her doubts, she decides to pursue Sam because she has this belief in destiny and true love. And almost the idea of soulmates, how everyone has somebody for everyone. And that it's really a matter of how dedicated and how much belief you have in yourself to be able to find that person. And so the journey begins. With the help of her friend Becky, Annie begins to embark on this journey to find Sam in Seattle, whom she thinks might be the one for her. However, she is completely unaware in terms of who Annie is. Sam does not know who Annie is. The existence of her is completely zero. It's more so of Annie going to Sam and almost confessing her feelings. But obviously, because the journey begins with her curious emotions, the love and the affectionate emotions kind of blossom throughout the film. Now, while Annie is kind of in this journey to find love, Jonah becomes convinced that Annie is the perfect match for his father. And he really encourages Jonah really encourages his father, Annie, or his father, Sam, to go out with Annie. And Sam eventually agrees to meet with Annie atop the Empire State Building on Valentine's Day, which is, you know, what can you do more to make the film more of like a romantic comedy? And so the movie kind of ends off in that note where they meet up in that Empire State Building, completely romantic, and then they kind of spark that love. And as Annie and Sam's paths converge, they have to begin to confront their fears and uncertainties about love and loss and the idea of taking risk, which is a very, very big part of what love is. And so, as I mentioned, in the end, they find solace and companionship in each other's arms, suggesting that true love knows no boundaries and can defy the odds. And so that's the simple plot summary of what the movie is about. I highly encourage everyone to kind of take a look at this movie. It really not only emphasizes on the idea of hope and how much believing in yourself can take you as far as certain things, But also it really gives you hope in terms of yourself, you know, because it doesn't always relate to the idea of love, but having that sense of hope and belief in whatever you do can make an effect in your life, because it drives you to take risks and to escape that bubble that you're in. And ultimately, there are more opportunities to fail and to get hurt and to lose things. But it also opens up opportunities in which can put you in a position where you would never have expected, and put someone in your life that is so right for you that you never thought you could find. And so there is this dual meaning of what it means to have a belief and hope within something. And through that, in this movie, it clearly shows that it can work both ways, whether it's positively or negatively. And although that this movie, because it is a rom-com and it is a movie, it does end in a happy note. But the challenges that the characters go through, you know, the doubts, which is clearly seen when Annie is kind of viewing Sam while he's kind of playing around with his son, and when she's calling her friend Becky and talking about Sam, and all these doubts and these thoughts that are going through Annie's head, but also in Sam's head as well, it really shows that dilemma that they have to go through, which was a result of having that belief and hope. But at the end, it kind of works out in a way where both parties got what they ultimately deserved. So as we move on to the movie, there are so many themes and concepts that really go through within the movie that helps you understand what the deeper meaning is behind the movie. So the first and foremost theme that is quite explicit is the idea of fate and free will. And the film explores the idea of whether love is predestined or a matter of a choice. And I think it's both. I think everyone does have someone in the world, and I think Annie really believes in that as well, but she never would have gotten that chance to meet the person if it wasn't for her courage and if it wasn't for her choice to act upon her belief. And Jonah believes in fate and actually works actively to bring Annie and Sam together. And without that physical action, without that choice to work with your internal thoughts, there would have been zero progression within the relationship. And so while Annie grapples with the notion of following her heart versus societal expectations, she soon realizes that without that grapple, without that contradiction within herself and society, there would have never been the opportunity where she could have met Sam. And I think nothing comes easy. And for her too, this idea of contemplating between whether to take action or having that doubt of whether Sam is the right person, or if she's crazy to go all the way to Seattle and meet this person she doesn't even know who he is, it's really a big step, and it is a risk to take, which in reality is a pretty unsafe risk. You never really want to go and meet someone you don't know, especially in a country or a place that you've never been to. But I think the main message here is to say that, you know, there's going to be doubts. There's going to be reasons for why you should not act upon your own belief. But if it is truly something that you think is an opportunity that will serve you well and that has a positive idea behind it, sometimes it's worth taking the risk. Now, if we move deeper into Sam's character, the concept of grief and healing is a main thing as well. Both Sam and Annie are grappling with loss in their lives. but especially Sam, because he's mourning his death, the death of his wife. But Annie as well, she's facing the doubts about her impending marriage. And though that the connection between both are different, they are both yearning for that sense of comfort and healing, and suggesting that love has the power to mend those broken hearts. And it really goes to show that love is not just about two people expressing their love and the likes of each other, but it's about enjoying each other's company and how even the presence of someone can heal the wounds and the damages that are done through anything. And this idea of love having so many explanations of what it means to someone and the certain powers that it can convey within people, it's really, really interesting to watch, because you can clearly see that the characters are developing through the changes that are being made. You know, even having an idea of someone that you like about can lighten up your day. And it gets you to look forward to things again. And just like Annie, it gave her the opportunity to take that leap and take that risk to find what she believes she deserves and what is worth looking for. And then we move on to the power of connection. Sleepless in Seattle is a movie that highlights the transformative power of human connection. And despite never meeting in person until the end of the film, which is very, very interesting, Sam and Annie form a very deep emotional bond through their shared experiences and conversations that illustrate the profound impact that relationships can have on our lives. Now, moving on to the movie having this unique characteristics of meeting the protagonists, eventually meeting in person together at the end of the film, was, I think, very interesting, because I don't think that this rom-com followed the kind of generic structure of what a rom-com should kind of look like. I think most rom-coms have this tendency to put those protagonist characters, those love interests, together and have them interact with each other from the beginning. It almost builds a sense of chemistry that is explicitly evident towards the audience. But in this case, it was interesting to see that Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan were able to meet each other at the end of the film. Because what I realized was, I don't think they were putting too much emphasis on more so about the chemistry of the two people, but how their relationship builds up within those very limited conversations, and almost just even having the idea of someone being out there and how that influenced the individual's life. So it's more so the film seemed to emphasize on the idea of the effects of love it has on one person individually, more so than showing how two people are interacting with each other and how they change together. So there's a bit more of an individuality idea in this movie that really strikes me, because you can kind of see in a different point of view of the lives that people go through that also contain an idea of love with a person, or, you know, anything at all. So that was an interesting choice in the film's aspect. The film also touches on the idea of romantic idealism. And the film celebrates the romantic ideal of finding one's soulmate in true love, which I mentioned in the previous portion of the show. But from Jonah's unwavering belief in destiny to the film's homage to classic romantic films like, you know, Sleepless in Seattle. Sleepless in Seattle embraces the notion that love can conquer all obstacles and endure against all odds. Now, this is a very strong claim that love is the cure to everything. But you have to take this idea and really stretch it in terms of the movie and connect it to society as a whole and how the concept of love can't be defined in just one thing, but it can be expressed, it can be felt, it can be viewed in so many different aspects, and it depends on every single person. And what can be guaranteed is that there are things to come out from it, you know, and it's either going to be hurt or, you know, positive feedback, or, you know, it can be happiness or doubt. And that's the beauty of love. And that's the beauty of this film, is that it portrays those different aspects of what love can do and what effects it has and how it can differ from every individual perspective. But in this case, mostly on Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan, and even Jonah, who is a secondary character kind of looking over the two love interests. Now, for the last couple of minutes of the show for this movie review, I want to touch on the characters. The characters that are being portrayed and how that kind of influences the entirety of the flow of the film. But before we do that, why don't we get through one song by Elton John called Rocket Man. I hope you guys enjoy. This song probably sounds a bit familiar. Elton John is a wonderful artist, and I think it'd be worth it to share this song with you guys. So sit back, enjoy this song, and I will see you guys soon. My bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a time. Timeless flight. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home.
No one there to raise them. If you did, and all the science I don't understand, it's just my job. and I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time.
And we are back. My name is Jeff, and you are listening to Leanin' with Jeff at CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. All right, so why don't we move on to the character portion of the movie. Sam Baldwin, Tom Hanks, he is a grieving widower, as I mentioned, and he's very, very hesitant to open his heart to love again, which is something that you can't blame. You know, his wife passed away, and he has not been really looking into relationships. He has a son he has to take care of. The responsibilities that have been taken onto him have not increased, but there's more attention that is needed because he's now taking on two roles. And so there has been no search or possibly even thought of having some sort of relationship again or creating a bond. And for Annie, with her kindness and warmth to approach him, I think it was a great way to have Sam open up and possibly start a new chapter in his life. Now, Jonah Baldwin, who is Sam Baldwin's son, he really plays a crucial role in the movie because I don't think, although he's kind of like a secondary character, I guess you can say, he's the one who ultimately pushes and creates that opportunity for his father. And that is a very, very huge opportunity that he was able to put onto his father. And it goes to show that people like this that are in your life may seem a little irritating, I personally think, because sometimes you want to take your time to take upon an opportunity and to understand where your when your limits are or, you know, when you think you're ready. But I think people like Jonah are very crucial because it helps us get reminded that, you know, there's really not the best time sometimes. You know, you really do have to be forced into something to really get yourself to pick up again. And Jonah does exactly that. You know, he does that to his father. He gives him the push that he needed to open up again and to find love, which is a crucial thing to living life. Annie, journalist, you know, very warm, very kind, very hopeful. And she begins to feel an increasing emotion of infatuation and interest towards Sam. And I think one of the scenes, as I mentioned, is when she sees him play with his son. And it's a very interesting scene because it's showing the true, most honest, authentic part of who Sam is as a person. It isn't sugarcoating anything. It's not a date where Sam is portraying a certain aspect or maybe Annie's portraying a certain character to appeal with each other. It's a very, very innocent scene where Tom, he's being a father, Jonah's being a son, and Annie's just reviewing and perceiving and really consuming the scene in the truest form. And that, I think, was one of the reasons why she was so interested in Sam as a person. Now, the flow of the movie follows not really a linear narrative structure, but it really starts weaving together multiple storylines and perspectives to create a cohesive and emotionally resonant film. The movie starts with Sam's wife's death, which is a completely low point, And then it establishes the emotional stakes and the setting for Sam. And then Annie pops up with, you know, this positive energy that completely is the opposite of what Sam is probably going through. And then as the film progresses, the audience is introduced to Annie and her struggle. So it goes down, it plummets again. It plummets the mood again once more with her marriage, with Walter. And then we can see Sam and Jonah's evolving relationship. So it kind of goes back up. And then the radio kind of begins, and that starts off like the inciting incident. And then it goes on to the moments of humor and tenderness and heartache as the characters grapple with their emotions and their uncertainties and doubts. And then the climactic scene hits right towards the end of the movie at the Empire State Building, where they meet each other. And the tension release is much stronger because of the fact that Jonah kind of already knew it was going to happen. And then it was Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks kind of, you know, seeing each other for the first time and realizing that, wow, you know, you are the one for me. And then, you know, Sleepless in Seattle kind of trickles down to that timeless romantic comedy where it explores that transformative power of love and, you know, going through the idea of grief and believing in fate. And all these heartfelt performances done by all these actors and actresses really helps the audience resonate with the trials and tribulations that the characters go through and how the result of love can make a very big impact within the life of the characters. And so that is kind of the analysis of the movie Sleepless in Seattle. And as I mentioned, I highly recommend this movie to a lot of people. It's a very sweet romantic comedy. And I think it really does touch on society as a whole and how we live as people as well. And I think these movies that touch upon a wider audience and contains a more broad and in more of a breadth of areas, it really helps us expand and reflect on the movie and the film, but also in ourselves as well. And I mentioned this in many of my shows, but the act of reflection plays a very huge role in the way we understand ourselves and the way we perceive things such as love as well. And I hope that you guys enjoyed this analysis of Sleepless in Seattle. It really, really is a great film that everyone should kind of view and see what kinds of findings that you come up with and possibly make these connections within your life personally as well. So for the remaining part of the show for today, I have two more songs to play. One is from Bryan Adams called Heaven, and the other is from Backstreet Boys called Everybody. I hope you guys enjoy these songs. After this, I hope you guys can enjoy the sun, because today I didn't mention it, but the weather is absolutely fantastic. It was raining for the first half of the day, but now it seems like the sun is out. And you know what that means? Going out, getting that vitamin, and, you know, just enjoying the weather while you can. So here is Heaven by Bryan Adams. Hope you guys enjoy. I will see you in a bit.
Coming back for more. Baby, you're all that I want.
That was Bryan Adams, Heaven. The next and last song that I'll be putting up for you guys is called Everybody by the Backstreet Boys. I hope you guys enjoy. This will be the last segment for today's show. So here we go.
Rock your body, yeah. Rock your body, yeah. Rock your body, yeah.
I hope you guys enjoyed that song. My name is Jeff, and that's a wrap for today's episode. I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of the day, and I will see you all next week. Bye-bye, everyone.
You say look this way, but I see a hand move the other way.
Other way.
You say look this way, but I see a hand move the other way. You say look this way, but I see a hand move the other way. You say look this way. You say look this way. Why you turning your
blast it up? Talk on the sergeant.
See a hand move the other way. You say look this way, but I see a hand move the other way. You say look this way, but I see a hand move the other way. You say look this way. You say look this way. Why you turning your back, 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 back? Why you turning your back?
Rock in the streets. You understand? Comrade, white production. Russian production.
Took a walk last weekend and didn't come back till November. I never thought you'd up and make a new friend. I never thought you'd make me surrender. I see you got a couple kids so cute. Are you sure that they his? They so you, so me. I don't mean to oppose it, but we need to make a phone call. Maury Povich, huh? Huh? They walk like, talk like men in the mirror like they ready for the spotlight. Yeah, I took a break, but this is hip-hop. It's never too late for a pit stop.
Mrs. Bixby, have you missed me? I'm back from a trip beyond. And I heard your husband thought that we wasn't. I'm leaving with you in my arms. Hello. 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 Hello.
Yeah, I know you got love for your new children. Awards from the honor roll because they so gifted. Now do that not remind you of our love? We built a brick house, niggas copy everything above they heads, and that's when I left. Time for a new breath, a fresh air like a fresh pair of Air Force Ones for my godson. You told me he was his, guess I lost one. Nah, and I'm back to reclaim shit. Your new nigga brainless, your new kids acting like stainless steel, and I will let you know that they are in the image of the real. Mrs. Bixby, still got my last name. You are the rap gang. Your man better ask him why. I'm acting like I never left, cause I never left, love. Take a breath.
Mrs. Bixby, have you missed me? I'm back from a trip beyond. And I heard your husband thought that we wasn't. I'm leaving with you in my arms.
Funny when time changes, your scrutiny, you leave me numb, leave me nameless. I'm doing me in the game, nigga shameless. But do I gotta live with your new nigga hater? The N-word is coming in. I don't remember two jacks and three's company. My radar saying, ooh, the fiend's loving me. Let me reintroduce myself to you. Hello. Look, I got you brand new shoes. Hello. Purse to match, open the hatch, girl. Hello. And is that really all it takes? Hello. You become so fickle, we should leave when the sun rays.
Mrs. Bixby, have you missed me? I'm back from a trip beyond. And I heard your husband thought that we wasn't. I'm leaving with you in my arms. Hello.
What is CITR's reputation, being that it's been around for so long?
Well, I mean, it's very active in the community because it's run by community members and UBC students, obviously. Whether you're into radio as a hobby or whether you want to get some real-world experience, it's a great place to go. It's like a very open and creative environment. Everybody that's working here seems really jazzed about what they're doing at the station. Just lots of really good challenging music and spoken word content. It's a great station.
CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Vancouver, British Columbia, on unceded Coast Salish, Musqueam Territory. Learn how to get involved at citr.ca.
And yo, you pronounce my name Wiley. Any questions? I travel many places with my man Lou P.
And when I'm on tour, it means that I'm slow out the door. Saying bye to my little one, that's the hardest for sure. Hop in a cab and get the uptown crew. Tally's late, got away, but we left early because we already knew. We on the highway cruising through the airport. Hard drop, triple check, make sure we got our passports. We good to go. Past security, we meet at the gate. Sunset through the terminal, check out the plate. I'm feeling great, but I'ma pass on the food tray tonight. Already spent 20 bones on a burger before the flight. Check out a flick. A tune, or maybe make a tune. I'm trying to read a book, but really I'ma fade out soon. Eat that so-called breakfast before the descent. And when the tires hit the tarmac, I'm by the 40%. Physically that is, but then we in Paris. I ain't complaining, that's the name of the biz. And now we flying through the highway on a 9-seater Benzo. Check out your favorite MCs through the black tinted window. Jokes on repeat mixed with social commentary. Plus we remixing lyric, that's just very necessary. A day in the life of a crew on tour. We trying to stay healthy, so we last through encores. And yo, who's on board? It's the massive. We came through the rock, the boats on your Lake Placid. Come on.
In the zone,
in the zone.
Bring in your vibes and vibes and vibes. After the show is written in stone. You want the fly life, fly life. Ooh, whenever you in the zone. We bring the vibes and vibes and vibes. After the show is written in stone. You want the fly life, fly life.
Yeah, it's like he say, she say, they multiply like delay. Props to the DJs who had Fridays on replay. Back when I used to hang out back at the PJs, I never thought my first rap would take me this far. I guess it all started with my first trip to NY. I couldn't rock my locks if you were H, or you know why. I felt like a king when I traveled to Queens, and I walked with a lean in this place full of dreams. I came back with a suitcase full of tapes. It felt great to share them with my teammates. That same night I took my pen out on a date. Then I came back with raps but still didn't see papes. Now with many days with shows back to back, I'm connecting the dots when your pins up on my map. A nomad moving like cab drivers to places, and we fly high. We don't try, we're on the ride.
In the zone,
in the zone.
Bring in your vibes and vibes and vibes. After the show is written in stone. You want the fly life, fly life. Ooh, whenever you in the zone. We bring the vibes and vibes and vibes. After the show is written in stone. You want the fly life.
Pousser, quitter.